Blog.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Shop can't miss deals going on now during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. For a limited time, get a free adjustable stand when you buy a DeWalt 12-inch miter saw. That's a $229 value. Plus, save $680 on a Midea 4-piece kitchen appliance suite. Now just $1,796. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Valid 113 through 124. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. While supplies last, see store or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike, Tom loves telling people about his carbon fiber mountain bike. Friends, family, even a local barista knows about his carbon fiber mountain bike. And that's why Tom's carbon fiber mountain bike, if you haven't heard about it, is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court has upheld the law to ban TikTok if the China-owned parent company ByteDance does not sell by this Sunday's deadline due to national security risks. TikTok users in New York say they're disappointed by the Supreme Court's decision, including 25-year-old Brian Cordova.
I think a lot of people are going to protest or go on strike because a lot of small businesses, even such as myself, like I use it as like a marketing tool.
Sources familiar with the matter say President-elect Trump is exploring any executive orders he may be able to take to delay the ban. Inauguration ceremonies Monday will take place in the Capitol Rotunda, moved indoors due to dangerous cold temperatures expected. In Tel Aviv, a lone piano player in what's become known as Hostages Square keeps vigil with demonstrators breaking away to observe Shabbat. Israel's Security Cabinet approved the Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal. Now a full and final vote from the Israeli government is expected next. This is ABC News. More than a dozen drugs could soon be purchased by the government for much lower prices.
Medicare now has the power to negotiate the price it pays for certain medications directly with drug makers. The Biden administration's added 15 additional drugs to that list, among them popular weight loss drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy. The Trump administration will have to handle the actual negotiations, but savings from the first round of talks on drugs like blood thinners and diabetes treatments were expected to save taxpayers about $6 billion and Medicare enrollees about $1.5 billion. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The iconic brick house that served as the McAllister family home in the 1990 Christmas movie Home Alone has finally been sold, and it went over asking price. It was listed at $5.25 million, but sold for $5.5 million. The 9,000-square-foot house in Winnetka, Illinois, is a suburb of Chicago. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 17th through the 27th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature have unveiled a lowering costs, improving lives bill package. It's their first of the new session. And Schwabadon Representative Ryan Spalding is the author of a bill aimed at lowering prescription drug prices.
No Wisconsinite should be forced to choose between putting food on their table and having the life-saving medication that they need. It's far past time that we take action to actually lower the cost of prescription drugs and to increase price transparency here in Wisconsin.
Another bill included in the package would expand the homestead tax credit, which provides tax breaks for low-income homeowners and renters. The Department of Health Services confirms a pediatric flu death in Wisconsin.
It's the first influenza-associated death of the 2024-25 season. State Health Officer Paula Tran says respiratory viruses remain a significant health concern, especially in children, and it's not too late to get your flu or COVID vaccine. DHS says respiratory illness activity is currently high in Wisconsin, and emergency department visits due to flu and respiratory viruses have also increased. DHS encourages everyone 6 months and older to get vaccinated against the flu and COVID-19. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A legend in Milwaukee baseball and broadcasting, Bob Uecker has died at the age of 90. A Thursday statement from the Milwaukee Brewers said Uecker was an announcer and entertainer whose humor and voice transcended the game. The statement added that Uecker had been fighting a battle with small cell lung cancer since early 2023. There are many Uecker tributes around the Brewers' home stadium, American Family Field, including a statue of him outside the ballpark. The Brewers say they'll provide details for a public celebration of Uecker's life at a later date. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A cloudy but warm winter day as high temperatures try to tap 40 degrees. All ahead of a cold front sliding through this afternoon, which could spark up a few scattered snow showers and bringing breezy winds. Gusting up to 30 miles per hour as temperatures fall to the single digits, with wicked wind chills slapped on top of that. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Welcome in to another episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us as we have a lot of different topics to take a look at today. Everything from 45Z climate smart related practices to the federal milk marketing order's final rule. We're also going to take a look at the Make America Healthy Again agenda. All of that coming up here today on the show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We're going to take a look at some of that Make America Healthy Again agenda. What does that all mean and more as we get set for the new administration to take power? Brandon Lips with Caprock Strategy is going to join us for that in segment three. Also in segment two, the Federal Milk Marketing Order's final rule released on Thursday. Paul Blyberg with the National Milk Producers Federation going to join us to run through the details there, and we'll talk to him in segment two. Also have a look at news headlines coming up here at the end of the show today. Let's kick things off, though. We've seen a flurry of related announcements from USDA in terms of biofuels, the 45Z from Treasury, Climate Smart Ag. There's a lot of stuff here to unpack. Joining us now from Growth Energy, Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, Chris Bliley. Chris, good to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to join you, Jesse, and looking forward to the discussion.
Well, let's just start. I know last Friday was the 45Z guidance that came out, the interim rule from Treasury and more. That was kind of the first piece of this puzzle that the industry has been waiting on for quite some time. Give us your thoughts, a recap of that news to start, Chris.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's hard to separate all these different things. But when we got the guidance, I think it was somewhat disappointing because we had to wait so long for Treasury to put this out for a tax incentive that started at the beginning of the year. And so people have really been anxious about the rules of the road. And when the guidance came out, unfortunately, it didn't include the model, nor did it include, you know, some of these things on climate smart agriculture, which we saw, you know, this week and we can talk about. But initially, I think there was concern. Basically, you know, this sounds good. You know, we're glad that we're including some of these things for biofuel producers to get credit for carbon intensity reductions, but we don't know what the numbers are. And so it really, until we saw that model, you know, I think we were the industry was anxious. We did see the model. We've been able to, you know, put some things together. So a little bit more clarity, but there's still some more work to be done.
Well, and then you mentioned the Climate Smart Ag Practice piece that was rolled out by outgoing Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack on Wednesday. That seemed to be fairly positive. I know one of the big things there was the unbundling of practices that many in agriculture have been wanting to see, Chris.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We were, you know, very good work by Secretary Vilsack, USDA, and the whole team. It really hits on the high notes. And as you said, it drops the bundling. It adds sorghum, you know, expands practices a little bit, including reduced tillage as well as no-till, cover crops, fertilizer timing, you know, and things like that. So, you know, USDA really did a good job with the Climate Smart Agriculture piece. The part that has to happen now is that USDA has done this work on Climate Smart Agriculture, you know, so that farmers can get credit for the practices they're doing, you know, in conjunction with biofuel producers. But in order to make that further actionable, Treasury now needs to take and basically adopt USDA's Climate Smart Agriculture so that the two can be tied together. Yes, there are a number of things at an ethanol plant that we can do on the process side to reduce carbon intensity, but the feedstock is such a big piece, and really want to get credit for, you know, credit and value for the things that people are doing on the farm. And so the USDA piece makes that work. Now we need Treasury and the new administration to tie the two together so that the incentives and the value can really be connected to the two.
Well, and thinking about the new administration, Chris, it seems that at least so far, the little bits I've heard, and we have, former Congressman Lee Zeldin's confirmation hearing in the Senate here this week, and he seemed to get a favorable response. He mentioned a little bit about Climate Smart Ag, I believe. Just all in all, tying this together, what is the outlook with the incoming Trump administration? Are they going to be favorable to all of this, or could a lot of this possibly get blown up, back to the drawing board, et cetera, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, certainly incoming President Trump has been a strong supporter of farmers. You know, he did a great deal of work around E15 in the biofuel space and campaigned on that as well. You know, you saw hundreds of ag groups, including Growth Energy, supportive of Secretary Designee Brooke Rollins. You know, certainly we have to do a lot of education and helping people understand. But I think, you know, creating jobs, developing the rural economy, you know, giving value to farmers, I think is a message that transcends all administrations. And certainly this economic development piece is really going to be key with the incoming administration. Tying the value of biofuels to the farm economy is really going to be crucial. You know, you mentioned Lee Zeldin had a hearing yesterday. Senator Ricketts did a great job asking him specifically about some of these things around biofuels, year-round E15, the RFS. I think we were very encouraged by his answers. Again, we'll have a great deal of work to do, but I think, you know, we're encouraged. We're excited, I think, looking ahead to next week to working with the new administration and really getting them up to speed. On biofuels and their tie to American agriculture.
Chris, we got about a minute here, and I just want to mention this too. I noticed that Growth Energy, you guys released a policy roadmap, so to speak, here with the new administration coming in. I know folks can find that at growthenergy.org as well, and there's a lot of information you guys released there, isn't there?
Yeah, there sure is. I mean, a lot of these things I think will be familiar. Things like expansion of E15 and the renewable fuel standard. But really, it's all about revitalizing the rural America and unleashing American energy dominance. You know, again, the renewable fuel standard, E15 and expansion of higher blends, expansion of these opportunities with these incentives and clean fuels extension, as well as winning some of the global markets. You know, trade and agriculture are so, you know, so embedded together. It's the same on the biofuel side. You know, we've had record ethanol exports this year, and I think that's really going to be key going forward as well.
Chris Bliley, Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs with Growth Energy. You can find more as well at growthenergy.org. Chris, great to have you with us here on AOA today. Thanks for the time, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, great to connect with you.
Chris Bliley there with Growth Energy joining us here on AOA. A lot of things to definitely be on the lookout for in relation to 45Z, Climate Smart, and more. Coming up next, we're going to talk federal milk marketing orders. Paul Blyberg with the National Milk Producers Federation will join us here on AOA.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, in the flurry of announcements from the USDA in the last several days, on Thursday, USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service announced a final rule amending the uniform pricing formulas applicable in all 11 federal milk marketing orders. And that final rule published in the Federal Register on Friday. Here to talk with us about this and take a look at the impacts on the dairy industry, he is Executive Vice President for Government Relations with the National Milk Producers Federation. Paul Blyberg joins us. Paul, it's great to have you back on AOA. Hope all is well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on today.
So there is plenty to unpack here with the FMMOs, plenty of changes that have been noted here, Paul. And I know that this is the wrap up of what has been a very long process here with the hearings and more. So just, I guess, broadly to start, National Milk Producers Federation, what is your reaction to the FMMO's final rule that has been rolled out by USDA?
Yeah, I think we feel really good overall. As you said, it's the culmination of a multi-year process that we started several years ago to work to build internal consensus on a number of issues and then take a proposal to USDA, which from there convened months of hearings where all dairy stakeholders put forward ideas and responded to different proposals from other parties. And then USDA carefully considered all of that evidence that was presented at the hearing, moved forward with a recommended decision, took more stakeholder feedback, then a final decision. And then producers at the end of the day had their say as well with the vote, with the referendum that took place. And all 11 orders are carrying forward in the updated form, obviously. And yeah, I think we view this very positively as a culmination of a long effort that, you know, not every detail is identical to what was in our original proposal, but these things never end up that way. But in broad strokes, I think it embodies the core concepts that we felt were important to advance.
What were some of the biggest changes that we've seen come out in this final rule? As I've been looking through things, I know there's a number of things here, and most of these rules will be effective this summer, June 1st, which I believe is also World Milk Day, if I'm not mistaken, coincidentally. So looking at some of the changes here, Paul, what stands out to you? What are some of the biggest changes that dairy producers need to be aware of?
Yeah, so a few significant ones. Obviously, a big one is returning to the higher of class one mover formula, the previous formula for most milk. There's an adjuster in there for extended shelf life milk. But yeah, the current formula that's been in place for several years now really wasn't working for the farmer. It was enacted in the 2018 Farm Bill on the understanding that it would help fluid processors with their hedging needs, but it would be okay for the farmer. It would be revenue neutral. You know, it wouldn't cost the producer relative to what they had been earning under the old formula. But that didn't turn out to be the case. Over multiple different years, we saw disorderly marketing. We saw major losses in Class 1 skim revenue. So that was very important to go back to the higher of, and we're excited about that. Another important piece of the decision is the update to the manufacturing allowances, the make allowances. These have not been updated since 2008, but since that time, the cost of manufacturing raw milk into processed dairy products has increased significantly, and so obviously different stakeholders in the industry had different views on that, but we felt that there needed to be some increase, and ultimately USDA agreed with that and included one in their final decision. I think as we talk about make allowances in the future, one thing that, you know, most of the industry agrees on, even if people don't all agree on what the exact number should be, everybody agrees that we need to have better data. So we're backing legislation, bipartisan bill introduced in the House again this year by Congressman Nick Langworthy from New York. It's H.R. 295. And this is something that would require USDA every 2 years to conduct mandatory plant cost surveys. So everybody in the industry has the same data. The bill doesn't require hearings to happen. It doesn't trigger hearings or anything like that. That still stays in the hands of the industry to petition for that, as always has been the case. But we all agree we need better data. So we'd like to see that bill enacted as soon as possible. A third item I'll highlight in the decision is the updates to the Class 1 price service, right? The Class 1 differentials. Those haven't been updated since the beginning of the century, and it's, you know, there's been a lot of changes when it comes to transporting and moving milk around the country. So it was very important to update those and go through the different regions and areas with a fine-tooth comb. So there's a lot of positive elements of this decision. You know, it's not a wholesale reworking of the federal order concept as we know it. It's really taking the existing parameters of the system and making them current for a 2025 dairy industry as opposed to a, you know, 1999 or 2000 the dairy industry.
Absolutely. Paul, is there anything that was maybe left out of these FMMOs? I know you mentioned that legislation that you guys are watching here for better data and more. Beyond that, was there anything else that maybe the industry is going to have to re-examine here in the months and years ahead, possibly?
Well, I think we petitioned for five different areas to be included, and those were all included as far as the process was concerned. You know, I think obviously once this is put in place and fully implemented, you know, then the industry will have a chance to see how things work in today's dairy economy and hope that we've got an improved setup there, which we think we do. That doesn't mean that in the future there won't be, you know, the future conversations stakeholders want to have about changes. I think maybe one thing that a lot of folks feel coming out of this process is, you know, maybe you don't want to wait a quarter century to ask for updates like happened this time. That doesn't mean it should happen every year, but maybe it should be done more frequently. And that's just something really for the industry to think about as we consider how things work and you know, what the right time is to seek improvements.
Paul Blyberg, Executive Vice President, Government Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation, joining us here today on AOA. Paul, I want to look ahead a little bit here to what lies in front of us for 2025. The new administration set to take over in D.C. on Monday. And I know you talked about this on the Dairy Defined podcast. You guys have a great source of information there at NMPF. Mm-hmm. And you're anticipating a pretty busy year ahead. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. I think I can break it down into three broad stools. One is, of course, the process of staffing up the new administration. So the U.S. Senate will be going through the process of vetting and confirming many different nominees for the incoming Trump administration. Next Thursday, the Senate Agriculture Committee, for example, will hold the confirmation hearing on Brooke Rollins, who's been nominated to be the Secretary of Agriculture. So be a lot of personnel work. Another stool, obviously, is the Farm Bill. You know, that's been extended into 2025, so the Ag committees will be getting started with that process again, and you have some new players in place in some of the positions. And then the third, of course, is the conversation around tax policy, right? You know, the Republicans have the trifecta of the House, Senate, and White House, so they're likely to seek an extension of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act provisions, and they'll probably do so using the budget reconciliation tool, which is a legislative tool that allows Congress to pass legislation on tax policy or mandatory spending, essentially fiscal policy, without needing 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. Republicans have 53 seats in the Senate, and they have, when fully seated, they have a 220 majority in the House. And so that enables them, coupled with President Trump, to use the reconciliation tool to do a tax bill. So those are obviously three very dominant areas, but there are going to be a number of other things we're working on. I mentioned one bill already. Obviously, the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act will be another major priority for us to work on as that gets reintroduced and moving forward. A key issue to reverse the decline of milk consumption in schools and get nutrient-dense milk back in schools that kids will drink and that is very healthy, as science shows. So that's a bipartisan bill we'll be working on, and many other areas too, right? But it is going to be a very busy year. That's to say nothing of the standard work they have to do on dealing with the debt limit and government funding and all of the usual deadlines. Mm-hmm.
So many things in front of us, and I'd have to say what you mentioned, I feel like that tax debate is probably going to be one of the first items to come up on that list. Would you agree?
Well, I think that's what's being discussed right now, actually, is the question of how to sequence the action on different priorities. It's possible that will come up very early as part of one very large budget reconciliation bill. There are some that would prefer to do two bills, and the first would deal with border security and defense and a few other things, and the second would deal with tax to give them more time to do that. So it's unclear which of those will win out at the end of the day, because you have different members of Congress that have different views about that, and the president and his team will be looking at all of that. So there's a few different factors that could impact timing, but certainly it's going to be a big priority for the year.
Absolutely. Well, a lot in front of us. Folks can stay up to date on issues related to the dairy industry and more. NMPF.org. That's NMPF.org, the website for the National Milk Producers Federation. Appreciate the time. Paul Blyberg, Executive Vice President of Government Relations for NMPF. Paul, thanks for being here. We'll talk again soon. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, as we continue our program, we're going to shift gears and talk about the Make America Healthy Again movement and some of what we could expect there for food policy broadly. We'll talk with Brandon Lips from Caprock Strategies next on AOA.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Helping your inner circle prepare for emergencies can start in many ways. Put together an emergency kit with Wipol. Create a family communication plan with your tita. Remind Bai to keep a backup battery charged. It all starts with a simple step, telling those you care about to be ready for the worst. So start a conversation and plan for emergencies together. Get more tips at ready.gov/start. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to
Attention All Egg Producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by ag strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern ag challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB. Member FDIC.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, February milk up 11 to 2017, March up 3 to 1991, April down 3 to 1964, May milk down 8 at 1958. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were mostly mixed on the day. Feeder cattle also mostly mixed ahead of the long holiday weekend. Now, stronger boxed beef prices did help to support the markets, but there was some resistance levels hit, and that also still provided some pressure to the contracts. Hog markets, meanwhile, they moved mostly lower. Another day of triple-digit losses due to skepticism over consumer demand. February live cattle up 15 cents to 196.75. January feeder cattle up 5 cents to 273.50. February hogs down $1.17 to 81.12. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher. Soybeans really leading the entire grain complex higher on a risk-on type of trade on Friday. A reversal, really, of a lot of the losses from Thursday. Now, there are still some dry area concerns for Argentina that also help to support the markets. Meanwhile, wheat markets also moving mostly higher as well, as Matif wheat prices were slightly higher. That helped to support the market. New crop corn up 3 1/4 to 4.56. New crop beans up 7 to 10.27 3/4. March wheat up 1 1/4 to 5.38 3/4.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Why do home sellers need the Prime Realty Advantage? I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty of Durand. Here's a big one. When you list your home with Prime Realty, we place your home on two multiple listing services, and that gets your home seen by thousands of potential buyers. Plus, our agents at Prime Realty are more than just a salesperson. We act on your behalf, providing advice, guidance, and the experience to sell your home. If you're thinking of selling your home, don't do it alone. Find out how Prime Realty of Durand can sell your home today. Visit us online at primerealtymidwest.com.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America, as we continue our program. Let's talk a little bit about the Make America Healthy Again movement. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. set to presumably take over in this administration at Health and Human Services, and there's a lot here, and this is something we haven't talked about a whole lot here on the program yet, so we want to dive into this and get some perspective. Joining us now on the program, he is principal and founder for Caprock Strategies. Brandon Lips is with us here today. Brandon, welcome to AOA. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you.
So set this up for us. We've heard a lot about the Make America Healthy Again movement and a lot of talk and I'd say scrutiny of the nomination of RFK Jr. to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. So as we're going through confirmation hearings and more and getting set for the new administration, can you kind of give us a broad overview of what we're kind of looking at here with this whole movement?
Sure, Jesse, I'd be happy to. You know, if we back up just a bit, not too many months ago, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was a former environmental lawyer and presidential candidate. And as you know, he folded his campaign and joined the campaign of now President-elect Trump, who promised to give him broad discretion and regulatory authority to overhaul our regulatory environment to, in fact, make America healthy again. And while I think he's been responsible for a large part of that movement, if you really look out across America, particularly where you and I come from, and even the conversations in conservative media these days, you see a lot of talk about the very principles that he's talking about. Consumers are eager for more transparency in their food, for what I think we on the farm would call real food, and for less processed food. But the flip side of that coin is that that has a significant effect on the ag industry, both in America, on what we eat here, and certainly on what we export. So it's big news to watch in D.C., and certainly the farm groups that represent our friends out in farm country are watching it closely, as are the processing groups here in town.
Well, I know you guys just released a policy memo that looks a little bit deeper at what we could potentially see here with this administration. And you mentioned folks wanting a little more transparency with their food and more. What is the feeling of what we could maybe see should RFK Jr. get confirmed to lead the Department of Health and Human Services? And I might add here, even ahead of this, just a few days ago, I know we saw this FDA ban on red dye number 3. So something there already happening ahead of the incoming administration, Brandon.
Sure, Jesse, and I'll start with your last comment there. I think the banning of red dye number 3 by the current administration probably is the domino to start the effect for what nominee Kennedy wants to do when he moves in. And you know, just looking at the simple facts for Americans, that product was banned from cosmetics many years ago, but they've left it in the food supply. Now, the science, as I understand it, FDA shows that it's fine for consumption, but folks are concerned about that and want transparency. So the FDA's banned that. I think it will give a lot of headway to what folks want to do. Kennedy, he's moderated a little bit in what he's saying since he left the campaign trail, as folks tend to do. We know there's a lot of rhetoric on the campaign trail that doesn't all translate to policy, but he is still laser focused on enhancing transparency and tackling chronic diseases. And he and his surrogates really talk a lot about the impact of ultra-processed foods. And I think that's where you'll see a lot of focus. We don't know yet what that's going to look like in policy, but certainly if you're a producer and your product ends up in what, you know, we Americans love our ultra-processed foods. Even though we want transparency, we want to eat more real food, the question is, how's that going to play out in policy? There's a lot of talk about reducing the consumption of foods that are high in fat, sugar, and sodium as a part of ultra-processed foods. But the reality is that science has not defined ultra-processed foods to date. There's a belief that it has a negative effect on health, and there's some initial studies that show that, but there aren't facts on that front. So there'll be a lot of discussions about that in the Beltway, and a lot of discussion about how that affects programs that buy a lot of the food produced in this country. If you think about the excess of $100 billion a year spent on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that's commonly known as food stamps, the $30 billion a year that's spent on school meals, which is required to be American-produced products, and then any number of other programs that USDA runs, which I used to oversee in the first Trump administration.
Brandon Lips with Caprock Strategies joining us here today on AOA. I wonder about this too, Brandon. I think about, for instance, the dietary guidelines for Americans. I know you guys highlighted that in your policy memo a little bit here. And that's something that here just recently we've seen some of the recommendations come out. I know folks say in the meat sector, not necessarily thrilled with some of the guideline recommendations that have been brought out there. As you look at, for instance, maybe some changes to those dietary guidelines, could that be an area where potentially Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has some rather immediate influence, possibly?
Absolutely, Jesse. And I know some of your informed listenership probably does know, but a lot of Americans don't know that all government dietary advice starts with the dietary guidelines. So the rules that they issue for what kids eat in schools, what they recommend folks eat in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, even what our military feeds our soldiers is based on the dietary guidelines for Americans. So it has a huge impact on the government's food purchasing and also on government advice. So it's a place to watch very closely. A scientific committee, as you noted, just finished recommendations to the secretaries on what they think ought to be in the dietary guidelines. And then advanced plant-based products over some of our more traditional protein products, certainly the animal products that a lot of our friends out in the countryside are producing. There's a big disagreement on the science on that front, and certainly I think this is a place where Robert F. Kennedy would agree that more transparency would be better. One of his problems with the dietary guidelines is that those scientific committee members who make recommendations don't have to disclose who provided the funding for their research. And of course, I'm a believer, having overseen that process in 2020, that we should look at all of the science, regardless of who funded it. It ought to be peer-reviewed. But I do think it's good for folks to know who's funding that science and the background that people come from when they make those decisions. And if I might make one more comment on the dietary guidelines front, this is really where we're going to see we talk about in that memo where MAHA meets MAGA. The dietary guidelines are written cooperatively by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, where Robert F. Kennedy is nominated to serve, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, where, as you know, Rawlins is nominated to serve, and they're going to have to work together on that front. So there's huge opportunity for ag groups who are well represented here in D.C., for processors who are well represented, and certainly for individuals in the countryside to speak both to USDA and HHS about where they think those guidelines should go. But I agree with you. I think it's one of the places that we'll see some of the first action from these new secretaries on where we direct the government to go on America's health.
I'm glad you mentioned kind of tying those two together, because that's where I was going to ask you as well here. Maybe looking at this from the farmer and rancher perspective a little bit here of, you know, what could they potentially expect that could impact their operations? Again, I know it's probably a little bit of an unknown, but, you know, is there changes to certain, you know, the regulatory environment or deregulation, et cetera? I mean, I think that's a fair question that a lot of farmers and ranchers are probably going to be asking and watching for the weeks and months ahead, right?
Certainly, Jesse. Those are huge questions that folks should be paying attention to and talking to the groups that represent them here in D.C. and certainly to their local representatives. I don't think that we'll see dramatic change on that front. I think we need to be careful to make sure that we're educating our new leadership in D.C. But as you saw when President Trump introduced Kennedy, he said, I'm going to give him great rope to run on health issues, but I don't want him touching our liquid gold, referring to certainly a lot of the energy that's produced in this country. I think we'll see a lot on that on the farm side as well. Kennedy's got a lot of issue with a lot of the products that help us feed not only Americans but the world. But I think nominated an ag secretary who has committed to be a strong advocate for agriculture to make sure that we're making good and transparent decisions on what we use in production agriculture, but that we're protecting the ability of folks in America to keep primarily for us Americans a safe and secure food supply, but also the ability to continue to feed the world. So probably another place where we may see some more tension or interaction between the Department of Health and Department of Agriculture, but really, for the most part, the Department of Health doesn't have authority over the types of things we're talking about, which would be either at EPA or USDA. So I think we'll see Kennedy more focused on things that have been very important to him, transparency in our foods, additives, which can certainly affect sales on the farm, but also things about making sure that we're fully transparent about things like vaccines.
Brandon, we're up against the clock. I appreciate the insight. It's been a great discussion. I know folks can find more on your guys' website, caprockstrategies.com. Is that right, Brandon?
That's right, Jesse. Appreciate you having us on.
Absolutely. Brandon Lipps, co-founder and principal for Caprock Strategies. Brandon, thanks for the time, and we'll look forward to getting you back on the show again in the future. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for what you do.
Brandon Lipps with Caprock Strategies. Some interesting things to think about in terms of what we could see for food and nutrition policy moving forward. All right, coming up next, EPA nominee Lee Zeldin having his confirmation hearing in front of the Senate this week. Lots of comments from that hearing and more. We'll take a look at news headlines coming up next here on AOA. Back after this.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group, and I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney, and the truth is I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090. 800-714-9090.
Been a minute since we hit the trail. Why not roll me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that keeps us all moving. Donate today. On your left.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, there's been no shortage of news items impacting agriculture in the last week plus, with one administration leaving town and another one moving in. We've seen a flurry of news items from USDA in the last several days, including 45Z guidance, federal milk marketing orders, and more. And then you throw on top of it, we've seen Senate confirmation hearings well underway on Capitol Hill, looking to confirm nominees to cabinet posts by President-elect Donald Trump. Well, EPA chief nominee and former congressman from New York State, Lee Zeldin, vowed at his Senate confirmation hearing clarity on WOTUS rules, timeliness on renewable volume targets, and cooperation with USDA. Zeldin agreed with North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer that the Supreme Court was clear in its definition of a water of the U.S. in its Sackett decision. And as for a future EPA WOTUS rule,
it is important that when you're going back to your home state and you're speaking to your farmers, that you are able to, with confidence, be able to explain to them that the federal government is doing our part so that they can define what waters of the U.S. are without them having to go hire an attorney or someone else, pay a lot of money to ensure compliance.
Zeldin followed with this.
So I will make sure that I'm doing my part, that the EPA is honoring the decision of Sackett and any future laws to come out of Congress. That is my commitment to you.
And then this question from Nebraska Senator Pete Ricketts on chronically late renewable volume obligations or RVO rules.
Congressman Zeldin, do you commit to give producers and the industry certainty in the marketplace deserves? Give them the certainty by following the law as it relates to the timely and appropriate RVO rulemakings?
Yes, Senator.
Zeldin noted President-elect Trump's past support for E15, but couldn't predict year-round sales of the fuel nationally.
As far as establishing certainty, hopefully this is something that Congress is able to resolve. To the extent that you're relying on the EPA to establish that certainty, I look forward to being able to do my part.
Senate Ag Chairman John Bozeman of Arkansas asked Zeldin if he'd work closely with USDA on predictable, science-based, and timely pesticide rules.
That must be our goal. That should be the relationship between all agencies, including the interaction between the EPA and the USDA.
Well, Zeldin received a mostly friendly reception from both sides of the aisle, though Democrats challenged him on climate change and questioned if he still held to 2016 comments on ending fossil fuel use. Zeldin was noncommittal. On Thursday, President-elect Donald Trump announcing more nominees to serve in his administration at USDA. Richard Fordyce has been nominated as USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation. Fordyce was formerly the administrator of the Farm Service Agency during the first Trump administration and has been serving currently as the director of ag business for agency Osborne Barr Paramore. Now, President-elect Trump said via Truth Social that, quote, Richard is a proud fourth-generation soy, corn, and beef cattle farmer who served as the administrator of the FSA at USDA during my first term and was formerly Missouri's director of agriculture. He will work closely with our wonderful Secretary of Agriculture nominee, Brooke Rollins, to ensure that our incredible American farmers and ranchers have the support they need to feed our great nation and the world. Fordyce has held leadership roles in agriculture on the local, state, and national levels for more than 30 years. He and his wife, Renee, own and operate Fordyce Farms, a fourth-generation Missouri soybean, corn, and cattle farm in Harrison County. Another nominee, Luke Lindberg, has been nominated as USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs. Lindberg currently serves as President and CEO of South Dakota Trade and a member of the Board of Directors of the National Association of District Export Councils. Now, Lindberg would be the third person to hold this position, following Ted McKinney and Alexis Taylor, who has been in the role during the Biden administration. Taylor is moving to the International Fresh Produce Association here next week. Now, on True Social, President-elect Trump said in part about Lindberg, quote, during my first term, Luke served as chief of staff and chief strategy officer at the Export-Import Bank, where he earned the Distinguished Service Award. Luke will work to make sure American farmers and ranchers get the smart trade deals that they deserve, end quote. Dudley Hoskins has been named as Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs at USDA. Hoskins currently serves as counsel on the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, and previously spent 4 years at USDA during the first Trump administration as Chief of Staff for Marketing and Regulatory Programs and Senior Advisor to the Secretary. And Michael Boren has been nominated as USDA Undersecretary for Natural Resources and Environment. On True Social, President-elect Trump said that Boren is a successful businessman who has founded 6 companies, including Clearwater Analytics. He has also served as a volunteer fireman for Sawtooth Valley Rural Fire Department and as a board member of the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation. He will work to reinvigorate forest management at a time when it is desperately needed, end quote. Now, again, all these nominees expected to join the USDA with Secretary of Agriculture nominee Brooke Rollins, who has her Senate confirmation hearing scheduled for this coming Thursday. Again, congratulations to the nominees for USDA under the incoming Trump administration. A lot of good folks on that list who have been nominated to serve in the USDA and hoping that they can continue to do good things for agriculture. One other news note real quick before we close out the show today. Canada on Tuesday of this past week approving with conditions U.S. grains merchant Bunge's $34 billion merger with Glencore-backed Viterra, clearing one of the final remaining obstacles for a global agriculture tie-up that is unprecedented in dollar value. The conditions for the approval include Bunge's divestiture of 6 grain elevators in Western Canada and a binding commitment from Bunge to invest at least $520 million Canadian or $362 million U.S. in Canada within the next 5 years, according to a statement from the Transport Ministry. That according to Reuters. The approval also requires strict and legally binding controls on Bunge's minority stake in Saudi-owned grain company G3 to ensure Bunge cannot influence G3's pricing or investment decisions, the ministry said. Bunge, Viterra, and G3 account for a combined 1/3 of Western Canada's elevator capacity. So again, it looks like that merger between Bunge and Viterra clearing one of the final major hurdles with Canadian approvals earlier in the week. With that, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up on our next program, we're going to talk markets, even though they will be closed on Monday for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Dara Newsom with Bar Chart will join us. We'll also have a conversation with Jared Flynn from BulkLoads.com. All that and more on the next AOA. For now, we're out of time. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
By the time you're done listening to this ad, nearly a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals to businesses to governments and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
The message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
At the Home Depot, it's our business to support yours. Partner with your go-to source for building your business. We can help you streamline your operations by supplying the whole job from start to finish. Any questions? Our pro desk is ready to answer the call with supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. Elevate your efficiency and take on more projects with the partner you can trust. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Real Country 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Downsville, Pepin. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court upheld the law to ban the TikTok app in the U.S. if the China-owned parent company does not sell by Sunday's deadline. Justices unanimously agreed national security risks of Americans' personal data is greater than free speech arguments. The CEO of TikTok, Xu Chu, in a video today promised the 100 million users that TikTok will keep fighting.
Rest assured, we will do everything in our power to ensure our platform thrives.
Chu also thanked President-elect Trump for his pledge to try and delay the